Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that you have promised in your word that if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. And Father, we pray that be the way of life for us, that we are a people, Lord, who live in your presence. Father, there is no greater place to be. And we do pray, Lord, for your word to us today, Lord, to draw us closer to you, that you'd be glorified through it, and that we would be changed and challenged, Lord, to live closer to you than we ever have before. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Peter's thrown down the challenge, so there we go. Isn't that nice? Amen. I'll just say amen and go home, but we'll see. But look, if you don't usually stay for the afternoons, I encourage you to, because it goes along a little bit with this morning's message. This afternoon we're in 1 John 2, but we're looking at the little children, the strong men, and the fathers, the mature men. And if you notice in that passage, it's got little children mentioned twice, and it's not the same meaning. So it's, we're going to be looking at that today. But for this morning's message, the title of the message is Keeping Your Word to God. Keeping your word to God. You know, it's a serious business when you give your word to someone or you promise someone that you're going to do something for them. And this is especially true if you are a Christian, especially true in all relationships. The world promises people many things, but it rarely delivers. Worldly people make many promises they never keep or intend to keep. You've only got to look at the politicians. They say a lot of things that mean nothing. Amen? That's what they do. They mean nothing. But as believers, it is especially important to keep our word to God. Because God takes it very seriously when a person makes a vow or promise to him, he expects them to keep it. Listen carefully. It is deadly serious to give God your word. Deadly serious. And I've heard many times people promise, if God will do this, then I'll do that. And they never do it. And it's a serious, serious business. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou should vow and not pay. That's a warning to us. Only a fool will say to God, I'll do this and not do it. Only a fool. Deuteronomy 21:23, if you make a vow to God and don't keep it, it is sin in thee. Listen, Jesus was very clear. If you're saying that's Old Testament stuff, well, listen, Jesus was very clear. You read Matthew 5:33-37, and it is the dangers of making promises to God. In fact, he said, we are to let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, Judges, in our text in verse 35, we're going to look at more than that, but I just want to look at the last part of that verse. It says, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Listen, if you're here and you've been baptized, I'm pretty sure you would have said at your baptism, I'm going to follow you, Lord. How's your walk? How is it? You're following him? You're living true to what you promised to him? See, these words come from a very brave man. This is a real man. This is a man's man. This is a man of strength. There is nothing cheap in these words. These are not some off-the-cuff remarks he's made to make himself feel good or get God to do something for him. These words came for him with a very high price. And when we make a vow to God, we need to understand they come with a high price. They are words that came with the high price of tragedy. Words that flowed with blood and tears. Jephthah was a man. He was the one who made this vow, this promise to God, and the time came when he had to make his promise absolute. It was his duty to keep that promise and make it good. And as with all promises to God, they involve always more than we expect. Way more. But that truth does not stop him to go back on his vow to God. What a difference there would be in many lives if they would just make their words to God, yea, yea, and nay, nay. He has given his word. Payday has arrived. It's time to make his word good. His promise comes with a price too much to pay. It's a sacrifice with a limitless cost. To keep his word is to darken his world, to plough up his garden, to throw his life into complete disarray. It is to take from him the one thing he loves more than his own life. And even though the cost to him is unbearable and unimaginable, he refuses to go back on his word to God. He would pay the price just as he promised. He will keep it. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Can we say that together? For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Here was a man whose early upbringing, his early reputation was one of great shame. Great shame. Even before he came into the world, there was great shame upon him. But what a brave and upright man he was. He's one of the best you will find in the Word of God. He may not measure up to our ideas of a man today, but you must remember he lived in a day where man's history was still very young, the light not as bright as we have today, but he was straight and true to the light that he had. And that's what we need. Look at the light we have. What excuse do we have not to make good our word to God? And to stand with him on judgment day would condemn many of us, I'm sure. Now in verse 1 of Judges 11, so I can put this into its context, we see, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead beget Jephthah. So we're told straight away, he's a mighty man of valor. A man of integrity. A man who is honest. Someone who means what he says. But look at how he was begotten. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. So he's got other brothers and sisters, but he's a man of valor, but he's also what? The son of a harlot. And he's all his brothers grew up, and they threw him out, and they said, thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Man, can you imagine? What chance did this young lad have? No social services in those days. No dole to keep him going. No shelters or refuges over his head. What chance does he have in those days of an adulterous father and a harlot of a mother? One who, a father who wouldn't even stand up and own him as a son. No doubt his father would have been in pain at losing a son. And he was a sufferer, but he wasn't the only sufferer. What a constant reminder this is to us that no one ever sins on their own. You got that, dads? No one ever sins on their own. When one strays from the paths of righteousness, they always end up suffering with bruised and broken feet. But what is worse, he or she always causes someone else to suffer along with them. See, we never fall, but we cause someone else to fall with us. Jephthah was behind from the beginning. Again, an adulterous father who would not own him. He wouldn't stand up for him, as well as an unclean mother. Not a mother who made one area. It was her business to sell herself to others daily. She was a harlot. Think of this. The first touch this little boy had, the first eyes he looked into, probably the first kiss on his forehead, came from a woman who spent her life in sinful living. What chance has this boy got? Here was a boy who missed out on many things. And when you think back on your past, what are the most precious memories that you remember today? Deborah and I were talking about the things of our past the other day, and she said, "Oh, we forgot about that. We're having a great time of memory." But there were also times of hardship. Great hardship. We've seen many throw in the towel over the same hardship. But we looked to the Lord, and the Lord gave us strength. Many of you are nurtured or being nurtured into Christian homes, or at least into good moral homes, caring homes, loving homes with loving parents, but not all are like that. Not all come from that background. But this lad here, not him, not Jephthah, no loving, tender memories of parents who nurtured him and took care of him and loved him. He's a child of sin. He had no memories, no instruction. What a horrible thing it is, as godly parents, not to instruct your children in the ways of the Lord, not to teach them how to respect others, to respect you as a parent, to respect God. This man has no chance. And if the children aren't taught the same thing to respect God, they too will have very little chance. Everything his half-brothers and probably half-sisters knew of a family, he had none. No hope of inheritance. Driven from his people, from his family, forced to flee for his life and live a life of no worth at all. Verse 3, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered main men to Jephthah and went out with him. And not much here to build a life upon. Everyone's expecting his life to go wrong. You know what? I know his mother. In fact, the whole town knows his mother. I know his father. He didn't care about him either. He just threw him out. He's not going to amount to much. You know, there's nothing so encouraging to know that someone believes in you, that someone trusts you, that people are there, they can count on you. There's the anchor of hope on which that's what you stay yourself on. We don't see Jephthah though. We don't see him going around to his friends and his neighbours telling them, oh, look what's happened to me. I can't help the way I am. He's not telling them what he would have done if it hadn't been for his half-brothers. He got busy where he was and he began to make something of himself. And it came to pass in the process of time, see verse 4, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, what happens? The elders of Gilead went to fetch who? Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. What a reputation he must have been earning himself. The elders of Israel, what happens? They've turned up on his doorstep. They greet him like he's some long-lost family member they've missed. They even want him to be captain of their army. Imagine if he has spent his time whining and whinging about what he lost in his life. You know, too many Christians spend their time whining and whinging about what they don't have. And they've got a God in heaven who loved them and gave his son for them, who shed his blood and gave his life, who rose again to take us home to glory. What? Oh, I don't have much, don't you? Don't you? He did his duty where he was, and the people heard of it, and you know what they did? They come knocking on his door. This is the man we want. That tells me they couldn't find anyone where they were to fit the bill. They asked for his help. Can you imagine how humiliating that must have been for them? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? I think that those half-brothers of his who had treated him so cruelly and so badly, I think they might have been talking this up a little bit now. He's the captain. He's part of my family. Now much that is like us. How often do we boast? How often do we acknowledge those, I should say, who we may think are a little bit below us? And then they do really well and we start to boast about the black sheep of the family. You see, we got one drop of blood related to some well-known person. We can't keep quiet about it. In verse 7, and Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did ye not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? That tells me the elders of Gilead are his brothers. Why are you come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou may goest with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. What a change. We got no hope. We better call on someone. Oh, that's right. We threw him out. He's doing well now. He's got a band of men with him. Vain men at that. Let's remind him where his family. You know, Jephthah, he could have played the blame game. He could have made them feel bad about what they did to him, but he didn't. Listen carefully. This is how we are to react to people who don't treat us so right. He wouldn't nurse the wrongs done to him. Too many people carry them around. Oh, look what they did to me. He didn't nurse the wrongs done to him. He didn't allow their bitter treatment of him to make him bitter. Revenge wasn't the way he lived. Good thing if we're all that way, amen. Someone's hurt your feelings in church, caused you a bit of grief, so you can't be bothered with church again. Guess what? You're a historian. Always bringing up the past. You're snapping and snarling ever since they did it to you. One disappointment can ruin a life if it's not dealt with God's way. Jephthah didn't let that happen to him. He said he would go, but notice the first thing he had to do was go to the Lord. Verse 9, and Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? That's a question. Am I going to be your head? Or am I going to be thrown away again? Thrown out when you're finished with me? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And notice this, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. He went to the Lord. He lived among heathens for many years. He lived amongst the worldly for many years. But listen, they didn't make him worldly. Can we say that? As the world spews into our lives every day from every angle, are we becoming worldly? I will throw God a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. That'll do. No, it won't. Not if you want to grow. Not if you want to know God's presence and experience His work in your life. It takes time, it takes study, it takes commitment. All was against him. But the Lord's, even our Christianity, isn't just for the good times in life. Our test comes not when we got Christians all around us. Our test comes in what we do amid a godless crowd. Jephthah went to battle from the altar of prayer. As he goes into that battle, he makes a vow to God. He vowed that if God would make him victorious, he would offer God the first thing to come out of his house when he returned home. Verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt fail, without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer over until Minnath, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. See, he makes his vow to the Lord. Now, it might not have been the smartest. It may not have been the wisest vow. And I can tell you now, Jephthah has got a lot of flack and a lot of criticism for what he did. Bit like his half-brothers who were putting him to shame. But he's copped a lot of flack over this vow. And the trouble is with a great many of us church members is, listen carefully, we are so good, we are so considerate in giving our judgment, we are so in awe of the possession of all our faculties, we have got our Christian life so together, we're in danger of dying from self-control, brothers and sisters. Who hasn't, in the midst of a moment of enthusiasm, made a promise of God of something that may be precious in their life? If not, who has not, after a stirring message, gone to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm handing myself over to you from this day. And within 4 hours, you're living like the world again. Who hasn't done that? Come on. The widow gave all she had, two mites. Christians today have got short arms and long pockets, amen. Mary broke a whole alabaster box of beautiful perfume over the Lord Jesus Christ when a few drops may have been good enough. And guess what? They're written down in eternal history. They didn't hold back. You see, many Christians are in so much self-control, they won't even give a few dollars for fear of how well off they may be next week. Oh, the sign of the times, you don't know what it's like. Have you ever thought what your God's like? He don't go back on promises. He's promised to put a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on the table. But no, man, people are working, no time for the family. No time for the Lord. It's like the man, he pledged $50, and when time come round to pay it, he refused to pay it. He said, you know what he said to the people? He says, oh look, I just got a little bit too religious that day. I've forgotten to look after my own interests. And the sad thing is, some people don't even get that religious. Amen? Oh, that's a quiet one. All they do is look after their own interests. That's it. Well, if something's on, they'll take. They can't wait. When it comes to give, But Jephthah, see, he made his vow unto God. He went into battle. He went in faith. He went in trust. He went confidently believing that what he had put, where he had put himself and what he had at God's disposal, that God himself would put himself at Jephthah's disposal. He trusted God to come through. He believed that God could not lie. And guess what? God didn't disappoint him. He won the battle. And off he heads home, victorious. You know, I've often wondered how long it would have been before everything Jephthah had said was now registering in his head. That the vow now comes flooding back into his mind. And as he comes near home, verse 34 and verse 35, we read, and as Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dancers, and she was his only child. The sight heard, he had neither son nor daughter, and it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Here they are, face to face with his only child. There's nothing said about his wife or the mother, but face to face with his only child. And she comes out dancing with timbrels. Remember David with his victory. The people said that Saul had killed his thousands, David his 10,000. They danced with timbrels and victories. And all he can do is rent his clothes. Crying in anguish, he realizes, he remembers, I've made a vow unto the Lord my God. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. This daughter was taught the ways of the Lord. This daughter had respect for her father. She didn't talk back to him when he asked her to do something. She didn't rebel against him. She had respect not just for her father, but her father has taught her respect for the Lord. You know, I've heard people say in huge outcries, what a hard man this man must have been. But listen, don't judge him on today's standards. Judge him on the day in which he lived. Keep in mind, he was man enough to keep his word to God. Oh, we would have more men like that today. He had the courage to pay his dues to God. For I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now, the world owes a great deed of gratitude to those people who have said, or in many, so many words, that I cannot go back. Joseph, in a great moment of testing in his faith in God, when the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me, he refused and said unto his master's wife, this is Genesis 39:7, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he hath into my hand. There's no greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? For I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Remember the apostles, they were ordered to keep silent about Jesus in Acts 4. And the rulers in verse 18 called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And we see, and I hope we see, we're just not reading and just listening. I hope our spiritual eyes and antennas are up. we see Jephthah beside himself. He is heartbroken. And how tempted he must have been to break that vow. I wonder what we would have probably have done. Oh, but this is Old Testament. This is as true for us today as it was true for Jephthah in those days. What would we have done? What would we have said to ourselves? Oh, look, no one knows. That's just between me and God. I made it in secret, in the secret of my heart. I haven't told anybody about it. Look, if I go back on my word, it doesn't matter that much anyway. It's just a bit of a promise I made to God in a time I might have been a bit confused. Listen, never make a promise to God you don't intend to keep. See, he hadn't told anyone about his vow to God. He wasn't under the pressure of a public opinion. Oh, you said that, now you're not doing it. Man, the amount of people I could say that to in my years as a pastor have put their hand over to do something in church and they do it for a week and then palm it off somewhere else. He didn't have that to worry about. Not like Herod. Remember Herod in Matthew 14? That was Herod's birthday. The daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And he said, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, he's not just keeping his word, because look at the next of it, and them which sat with him. He didn't have he had the pressure on, he had to do it, or he would have been shamed. He commanded it to be given her. See, Jephthah's different. He was compelled by an unstained conscience. His dignity, he had no pressure at all from the outside influences. He could have said, I've made a vow, but I made it under pressure. I was in a tough place at the moment. There was real and present danger all around. How can anyone be held responsible for a promise made under such pressure and conditions? Listen, have we ever been scared or worried or a bit concerned during the storms of life? Or there may be a real present danger happening around us, or someone near or dear to us is ill, and we've gone off to God and promised him something. And as soon as they're well or everything's fine again, we just go back to normal. Of course we have. Be honest. All of us have. Some of us have been false to each other. Now, in all truth and honesty, how many of us have been like that with God? Think of the vows we've made as members of His church. Oh, look, I put my hand up, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden you palm it off to someone else because you go on holidays, and when you come back, you don't take it up again. Yeah, leave it with them. Promises to people you may work with, your family. Man, you make a promise to your family, you better keep it. You made a promise to your wife to love her and serve her when you got married. You made a promise as a married couple to submit yourselves one to another before God. The problem today is too many Christian men aren't serving their family. They just palm it off. It's not right. Is there anything we haven't paid for yet? Probably never will. Maybe some of us have made pledges to the Lord and His church and we've just forgotten them. Has God brought them back to memory this morning? For I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. Is that our cry today? You've promised to be obediently keeping God's will and commandments. Have you been honest with God in those things? You joined the church, you read the Constitution, you pledged by signing it to abide by those rules, to attend upon its services. And yet what many do, they just trample underfoot those very conditions they agreed to. And please remember, when you joined the church, the promise is not made to me. The things you agree to aren't agreeing to me. They're to God. You opened your mouth to the Lord that day. Again, in your baptism, you acknowledge God before many. Have you left the world behind you and put the cross before you? Listen, go home and read your wedding vows. They're not just to each other, they're to the Lord, proclaimed in His holy presence, in the presence of many witnesses. And there may be those who are not members of a local church. Don't forget, you're still a part of Christ's body. You don't get away with it that easy. There would not be one person who has not opened their mouth unto the Lord and forgotten to keep their promise. I've heard promises made to God when all seemed lost, of the death of a child, the death of a loved one. And the question that really arises as I finish is, can I ask what promises of God He has never failed to keep for you and me? May the grace and the mercy of our great God help us all to make today payday. May the Lord strengthen us, give us the courage, give us the backbone to say, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. What a simple truth this is. That deals with our lives, Lord. That deals with our relationship with You, with one another. Oh, to be a man like Jephthah. Help us, Lord, to just get rid of ourselves and allow You to rule and reign in our lives. To put You before all, knowing that Your promise to us is You will take care of us, Lord. All the way to eternity. Father, we thank You for the precious story of this godly man. May we be stirred up to live a Christ-like life from this day on. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.